Thank you, Steve, for that reading there from Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Michael, for the prayer that you led us in a few moments ago. And thank you, Max, for leading us in that song titled Farther Along. I didn't talk to Max about the lesson that I have prepared to talk about tonight, but that song went very well with what we're going to talk about. I love it when that happens, and I appreciate Max leading us in that hymn, and it's very fitting for what we're going to talk about for just a few moments this afternoon. And tonight, our lesson is titled, How to React During Troubling Times. Unless if you've been living under a rock, you know that there has been a lot of talk lately about the strife, the ungodliness, and the unrest that is currently occurring in the world we live in. You're aware of the fact that there are many who are quite alarmed right now by the developments in the news concerning nations that are fighting against one another, concerning the hypocrisy, the strife, and the ungodliness that is waxing worse and worse in our own country. Also, you're aware of the unrest that many are having right now concerning the rising cost of living in the country we live in, and concerning many other less than desirable circumstances that are bringing about panic and suffering. Now, although I've heard a lot of people lately make the statement, we are living in troubling times. Have you heard that lately? I venture to say you probably have. And I've heard that a lot lately, as I'm sure that you too have heard that. And although we're hearing that, we must never forget that so-called troubling times are nothing new under the sun. It's nothing new. And as the Bible informs us, there are going to be some troubling times that are going to come upon us. And not only does the Bible inform us about some times that we're going to have that are going to be troubling, but it also informs us of some ways in regard to how we should react during troubling times. So with that thought pressed upon our minds this afternoon, let's open up our Bibles and let's take just a few moments to talk about how we as Christians ought to react in times of trouble. And I begin by suggesting to us first and foremost, during troubling times, we must never forget who is in control. We must never forget who is in control of the nations. Again, there is a lot of unrest right now with people talking about the developments in the news of nations fighting nations. There's been a lot of talk about that, a lot of unrest about that. And we must never forget who is ultimately in control of the nations. There in Psalm 22, open up your Bibles with me if you will, there to Psalm 22. This is a Psalm of David. And notice these inspired words of his picking up here in verse number 27. Here in Psalm 22 and verse 27, David says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Now pay close attention to verse 28. He says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. You see that? Who is it that rules over the nations? The Lord. You see, we need to never forget that it is the Most High who rules in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson, didn't he? You're familiar with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and how he was puffed up with pride, how he was talking about all that he had done and made Babylon such a powerful kingdom. And you remember what God did to Nebuchadnezzar? What did the Lord do to him? I like to say he took him out of the palace and put him in the pasture. He humbled Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he? And Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson, didn't he? Remember the words found recorded there in Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 25? What lesson did he learn? The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Simply put, he found out who was in control. He found out who was in control. Again, We see it throughout the pages of God's Word. The fact that God is in control. We see it not only with Nebuchadnezzar. We've been talking about it lately in our adult Bible study classes. We've been going through the book of Exodus. Pharaoh, he's going to learn who's in control, isn't he, David? As we're studying. And we see it throughout the pages of God's Word. You see, it is God who makes the sun rise. It is God who sends the rain. We learn about that there in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 45. The fact that it is God who makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We can see even further the fact that it is the Lord our God who is in control. There in Acts chapter 17. Open up your Bibles with me if you will for a moment there to Acts chapter 17. Again, as good Bible students in the context here, you're familiar with Paul addressing the Athenians as they were worshiping the unknown God. And notice what, as Paul is addressing them, notice what he says picking up here in verse number 24 as he proclaims to him the one true living God. Notice what he says. He says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything. Why? Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Simply put, God is in control. He is the one who gives life, breath, and all things. And we need to be mindful of that, brethren. And we need to understand, brethren, that there are going to be some things that are going to happen that are going to be beyond our control. We have no control over the nations that are fighting against one another. We have no control over that. But you want to know something who is in control? God. God is in control. And even as David brought out recently in our Bible study class, as it has been brought out, sometimes God uses nations to bring judgment upon other nations, doesn't he? Sometimes God's plan may not be what we want, right? And we need to be mindful of that. We must never forget that. We must never forget who is in control in troubling times. Now, although there are troubling times going on around us, especially specifically in this very country that we're living in, without a doubt, we all would agree that there is ungodliness that is waxing worse and worse in this country. We all would agree with that. And although God is ultimately in control, there are still some things that you and I could do, brethren, as God's people. You want to know one of those things that we can do to do our part to try to better the times that we live in? We can cast our vote against those who are promoting things such as homosexuality, things such as abortion, things such that are ungodly things that are being promoted in our very own nation. We need to be mindful of that. We need to be doing our part. We must stand against that. We must never, never put our stamp of approval on the ungodliness that is being promoted in our nation today. But rather, we must do our part in casting our vote against those who are promoting such ungodliness. But ultimately, we must never forget that the Most High is in control, and His will be done, no matter what. But here's another thing that we must keep in mind in regard to how we should react during troubling times. And that is, no matter what happens, we should always be determined to always do what is right in God's sight, regardless of what the outcome may be. You see, we need to be determined like Joshua to put our foot down and to declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. Brethren, no matter what happens, no matter how many may oppose the stand that we take, no matter what the outcome may be for the stand that we take, we must always be determined to do what is right in God's sight. Period. We must be determined to make good on our duty to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 13. You remember what the wise man said there as he was bringing the book of Ecclesiastes to a close? What did he say the whole duty of man was? Fear God and keep His commandments. Simply put, he said, respect and obey God. No matter what, we must always be determined to make good on our duty to fear God and keep His commandments. We must be determined to always obey God rather than men, like the apostles were there in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. Remember there in Acts chapter 5? The apostles was brought before the Sanhedrin council for doing what? For preaching Christ. And remember what the Sanhedrin told the apostles? They told them to shut their mouths. They told them to stop doing that, didn't they? Brethren, there may come a point in time to when our own very government may tell us, well, you can say this, but you can't say that. I wouldn't be surprised in the near future, if time continues to go on, that depending on what happens in our country, depending on who's going to be put in charge to lead our country, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in time we're told, well, you can go ahead and you Christians can go ahead and meet, but don't you talk about homosexuality. Don't you talk about abortion. And the list could go on and on. It could happen. But if it happens, we must always remember that we must obey God rather than men. We need to be like the apostles and take the stand that the apostles took. And we must obey God rather than men. And no matter what happens, brethren, we must be like Paul and determined to make that one thing that we do, that of pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we learn there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Again, there may be some trying times among us now. There may be some even more trying times ahead of us. But no matter what kind of troubling times we find ourselves in, may we always be determined to always do what is right in God's sight, regardless of what may be the outcome. And never forget the words of Jesus found there in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Remember what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28? He said, "Don't fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Remember that. Never forget that. And always be determined to do what is right in God's sight, no matter what. But here's another thing that we need to keep in mind in regard to how to react during troubling times. And that is, we need to keep in mind to avoid anxiety, fear, and worry. But rather, we need to maintain our trust and hope in the Lord our God. Again, there are some today that I'm aware of who are just overwhelmed with some of the things that are going on today. And because they're overwhelmed by them things, that those things, they have become very anxious about them. They become fearful about what tomorrow may bring. And they are what many of us would call worrywarts. They're consumed with these things, and they fret about them, and all they do is sit around and worry about them. But we need to be reminded of the fact, brethren, that we must avoid anxiety, fear, and worry. No matter what kind of times we find ourselves in, we need to avoid anxiety, fear, and worry. Jesus, there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, as good Bible students, you're very familiar with the text. We won't take the time to read all that. But there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, you're mindful of Jesus teaching the need not to worry. Over and over, Jesus emphasizes the importance of not worrying. And he was simply talking about even the necessities of life. Things such as food and clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, Jesus said. But remember what he said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what did he say? All these things, those necessities of life that you need, Jesus says, will be added to you. Put God first. Don't worry about it, Jesus said. He even informed in that text that worry, it's not going to do us any good, is it? It's not going to add any inches to our height, is it? It's not going to do us any good. He even emphasized the fact that when you worry, it actually denotes that you have little faith. But here's another thing he teaches, and I want us to be mindful of that there in verse number 34 as he concludes that thought. He said, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Again, there are many today who are pretty frantic about the times we live in. They're fretting on them. They're consumed with it. And they're worried. And again, I've heard many people say, oh, I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next month or next year. Well, what did Jesus say? Simply put there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, he says, take things one day at a time. That's what he's saying. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, tomorrow will worry about its own things. He says, sufficient for today is its own trouble. Take things one day at a time. You've got enough to deal with today. And you want to know something, brethren? When we worry about tomorrow, all we're really doing is borrowing trouble. You ever think about that? When you worry about tomorrow, all you're doing is borrowing trouble. Remember that. And avoid worry. And never forget the words of Jesus that he spoke to his chosen disciples there in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, when Jesus spoke those words to his chosen disciples, he knew that there was going to be troubling times ahead of them. He knew that they were going to be faced with some troubling times. So he spoke these words to them, words of assurance that I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to give you and leave you that peace of mind that the world cannot give. And because of that, he says, let not your heart be troubled, nor be afraid. He goes on to eventually tell them, fast forwarding there to John chapter 16 and verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, now watch this, in the world you will have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember that. Don't be one who, who frets about and is anxious and worried about tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But be one who remembers the need to avoid anxiety, fear, and worry. Going back to the reading that Steve so ably gave for us a few moments ago there from Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. What was Paul's instruction? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. We need to remember that, brethren. And we need to avoid anxiety, fear, and worry. Being mindful of the fact, as Paul revealed there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, the fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Again, brethren, although there will be troubling times, we must not let them overwhelm us. And although we may face opposition in troubling times for the stand that we take, we must not fear. We must not fear. Again, Paul told us, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We must not fear. We must take that firm stand and fear not. And we need to always remember these comforting words found there in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in the latter part of verse 5. Follow me there, if you will, in your Bibles there to Hebrews 13. Never forget these words, these comforting, inspired words during troubling times. And here, it's recorded in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hold on to those words. Never forget them when we find ourselves in troubling times. But here's another thing I suggest to us in regard to how we should react during troubling times. And that is, when we find ourselves in troubling times, we need to continue to let our light shine in the midst of the darkness. Again, as God's people, we are the light in this dark and perverse, corrupt world that we live in. And we need to be mindful that when we find ourselves in troubling times, one thing we can do and one thing we need to do is we need to continue to let our light shine in the midst of the darkness. Being ever mindful of these words of Jesus found there in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14. Here Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the houses. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember that, brethren. Never forget that. Always, no matter what kind of times we find ourselves living in today, always seek to let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works, but more importantly, so that you may give our Father in heaven the glory. And strive to walk in the light, as Paul encouraged there in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice this with me here in Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning here in verse number 8. Paul says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Here we learn that as children of God, we are to walk as children of light. And when we find ourselves in troubling times, brethren, let us walk. Let us walk as children of light. And let us have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather let's expose them. being ever mindful of Paul's exhortation found there in Philippians chapter 2. And there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14 beginning, Paul writes, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Why, Paul? Well, pay attention to verse 15, because he tells us, "That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We remember that, brethren, and always strive to let your light shine in the midst of darkness, being ever mindful of the words of Paul found recorded here in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. And here Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Never forget that. Never forget that. Paul says that we need to be a people who deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and we need to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking forward, verse 13. Looking forward for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Now watch this. And purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Never forget that, brethren. And always strive to be one who lets your light shine in the midst of the darkness. But here's one more to leave you with before the sermon will be yours. And that is, when we find ourselves in troubling times, we need to react by being patient in tribulation and by continuing steadfastly in prayer. Did you know that? Notice what Paul said there in Romans chapter 12. Go with me, if you will, there for a moment to Romans chapter 12. And here in Romans chapter 12, Paul is instructing Christians to simply behave like Christians. And here in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 9, Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Now this is what I want us to pay attention to. Verse number 12. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Remember that. When we find ourselves in troubling times, never forget that instruction of the Apostle Paul there in Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Again, going back to the reading that Steve gave to us a few moments ago there from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. What was Paul's instruction? Be anxious for nothing, but what? But in prayer, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what did he say? The peace of God will what? The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will what? Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember that. When we find ourselves in troubling times, don't be anxious about it. Don't worry about it. But take it to God. Take it to God in prayer. Let your request be known to him, being ever mindful of the fact that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, even though God is in control, we still need to be doing our part. And one of those things that we need to be doing when we find ourselves in troubling times is we need to be praying for the leaders. We need to be praying for those who in position of authority. Notice this with me there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now watch verse 2. For kings and all who are in authority. Why, Paul? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Remember that, brethren. Let me ask you, have you been praying for those in the position of authority lately? If not, you need to start. We need to be a people who are praying for those in authority. We need to be praying for our leaders. Whether you like them or not, we need to be praying for them. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to pray that they will make decisions and do things that are in accordance with God's will. But most importantly, remembering as what Paul brought out here in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Pray for kings and all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And be ever mindful of Paul's exhortation found there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. But he didn't stop there. He said in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Simply put, we need to continue to pray. We need to pray. We need to be praying without ceasing. And we need to, no matter what kind of times we find ourselves in, we need to, as Paul said, in everything give thanks. Remember that, brethren, when you find yourself in troubling times. Continue steadfastly in prayer, never forgetting the power that is in prayer. For as we learn there in James chapter 5, verse number 16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Brethren, while it may be that we are currently living in troubling times, let us never forget the things that we have discussed here this afternoon in regard to how we as God's people ought to react during troubling times. And may we always seek to do all that we do to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse number 31. Maybe there's someone among us this afternoon who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity right now to do that. You have an opportunity to get your heart right with God. For you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began. And then may we always remember the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. Remembering the promise of Jesus found there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one among us this afternoon who has already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. But maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way to our front, we'll stand and sing a song, Max is selected.